Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BSideBlog.com and the Banter Blender podcast. And joining me, as usual, on his cross-country tour for love is Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Pricks Bachelor Podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
I found love in a Whataburger, Ben.
Oh, you're so lucky.
I'm ready to meet Shep's parents, okay? I think I finally earned it.
Yeah. We are here today to talk relationship, because why not? Why not talk about relationship? It's a new show. But before getting into that, we hope that you guys all develop a very warm relationship with the box office of the various venues at which we will be playing. We have shows, two shows in Chicago. We have a Boston show. We have a Detroit show. We have a Houston show. Those tickets are all on sale. DC is sold out. New York is sold out. One of the Boston shows is sold out. Chicago is actually down to, I think, 30 or 40 tickets, if I remember the tally correctly. So Chicago, at least the early show is. So Chicago is about to sell out the first show, and then I don't know where it's at for the second show, but that one's also closing in, circling the drain. So people, if you want to see us, buy
those tickets. Circling the drain, that's not a very nice way to put it.
But we're Watcher Crappens. It's within the, it works with our universe.
Okay, I'm back with you. Like, listen, how dare you hurt my wonderful shows?
Yeah. and we are working on some other cities and dates, etc. So everyone always stay tuned for that. But for right now, this is what we have. We have like 9 shows, and we want to get a whole bunch of sellouts because we just want to impress people. We are insecure. We're insecure with our place in the world, and we feel like we can only prove ourselves by selling out venues. So that's really what it comes down to at its heart.
Yeah. So do
we
it.
Just, we just want to be and loved
also,
and accepted.
Also, we get to hug, and we get to get all our sweat all over you after the shows.
Yeah.
While I do anyway. I'm a big sweaty monster after those shows. Have so much fun. We're going to be doing those all year, so I'm very excited. And I'm also laying around a lot in December, because in January it starts and it never stops. Yeah. So I'm really enjoying my bed, my friends. You know, by friends, I mean Bueller, my new body pillow, and drinks. I'm enjoying vodka. Like to thank my Uncle Tito for being so good to me.
Yeah.
Marijuana, you know, thanks for that. Cigarettes and vape.
I really appreciate your Academy Award speech. You know, it is December. The Golden Crappies are around the corner, but we're going to be doing them a little differently this year. Stay tuned for details on that.
I'll give you a hint. It involves tuxedos. Dun 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 dun. A bunch of cats named Tuxedo. Tuxedo the cat, ladies and gentlemen. Annabelle the Sisto's cat, Tuxedo.
Oh, is her cat named Tuxedo?
I think it's something like that. It's like Mr. Tuxedo or Tux Tux or Cat Cat. Little cat. It's a black and white cat that looks like it. I think it's Tuxedo.
Clue anyway, number two. It involves cats and we'll be singing memory.
Yeah, it involves Annabelle DeSisto.
Singing
we
memory.
Haven't figured out just how.
Annabelle will be on the Golden Crappies and she is going to sing memory and she's going to float off into the ceiling of the podcast. And I will be signing autographs in intermission, dressed as Deuteronomy.
Annabelle DeSisto and her Patricia caftan, rising to the stage, rising up the stage on a giant tire.
It's actually my preferred way of getting around Los Angeles, floating on a giant tire with smoke underneath.
And Annabelle, I hope you're listening, because we just put you as a presenter on a tire of something with your cat, which I might not know his name, but we're in, and you're in. We're all in!
We're all in it! The Annabelle D'Sisto Power Hour, featuring the cat's experience. Okay, well, we're in a crazy space, but the point is this, Golden Crappies, stay tuned. We're going to do something really fun this year for it, and we can't announce just yet, but I think you can probably put two and two together. Two cats and two cats, two Andrew Lloyd Webbers together.
You're one Megan Granger short of a proper idea of what's going to happen, Lover. Okay, everybody. So now, welcome to Relationship.
Relationship.
That's what I said.
I know. I'm gonna make. Every time you say relationship, I'm just going to say relationship behind you just to annoy you.
That's why I stopped Relationship. It's basically, this title was created by Sheena. They're like, what should we call this? She's like, Relationship.
Okay. I think you should call it Relationship. Relationship and Relationship.
I spelled it wrong. I said Relationship.
Have you ever been on a ship of relations? So,
I have. I remember, that's me, so 6 months ago.
I went on a ship of relations, and we sailed to Isle of Man. It's my dream.
It's it was as big as an island, am I right? It's so amazing. Shay.
We are not making any sense. Okay, we are officially not making sense. I feel like everything I know about Isle of Man, I learned from House Hunters International, and that's not even a lie. There's an episode that took place there, and it was awful. It was an awful episode. So anyway, because normally today, you know, Below Deck is having a reunion, whatever, but we decide, you know what, Real Houses of Beverly Hills comes back next week, and we will be covering it on Wednesdays. So before that juggernaut, sorry, Stassi, drops into our schedule, we figured let's just, like, give some time to Relationship for a second. So,
guys, let's give it some time to relationships as Shep does to his relationships. 1 hour.
Yes, exactly.
40 minutes if you fast forward through commercials.
So did you watch the first episode or did you just dive into the second one here?
I did not watch the first because I didn't have to. Yeah. And I was like, why would I do that? Like, I ain't getting extra credit. I'll watch the previouslys.
Yeah, I watched
previously on Cars Relationship.
Yeah, I watched the first episode. I wasn't a big fan of the first episode. I liked the second episode a little bit more. But the first episode, he was like, gosh, I need a girlfriend. Gosh, I'm going to L.A. Gosh, I'm going to eat a grub. Gosh, where's Betty? Gosh.
I love that Cameron is still the narrator of this show, like she is on Southern Charm.
Yeah.
Because she's like, previously on Relationship. Relationship is an idiot. He tried to find a girl, but that one was a slut. Then he went to Los Angeles, or as we like to call it, Lies and, because they have a lot of improv there in Lilac. And then people did irresponsible things that I don't approve of. Also, I'm pregnant. My boobs are leaking. Thank you for watching. Okay. Well, we're all caught up. Thanks.
Yeah. So this episode opens up with Shep in Texas, and you can tell the editors are just bored with the show because they're not even bothering putting on the proper titles. They're like, Shep's last, the Chiron says, Shep's last night in Austin to open up the show. I'm like, aren't we in Dallas? Is anyone paying attention back there?
Oh, geez. Well, I'm still in Texas, so my mother was watching behind me while she played Canasta, and so I had to listen to her abusing this show. Oh, no. And she's like, did they just say Austin or Dallas? Are they even paying the fuck attention? God, no, I get why no one would want to watch these shows, but is anybody actually producing them? Who typed that? Like, she was furious, I swear to you, for the whole hour. She was like, but are you going to say something about them writing the wrong town down? I was like, yes, Mom.
That's so funny because I totally noticed that too. Because I was, you know, I was like, okay, last night in Austin. Okay, I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, because I'm in Austin, so I'm excited. You know, I'm like, look, parents, it's an Austin show. And then it wasn't even Austin.
And then Leanne Locken comes by banging on a trolley. You're like, oh, shit.
Shep's like, I'm a carny kid. Play games with me. You're going to pay. Gosh.
Gosh. I grew up with knives in my hands. Gosh.
They're just hands, but they work quite good. It's like he makes every line sound really nice.
Like, yeah. Like, hey, Mark gets his dick sucked at the Roundup. I know the guys who did it. Gosh.
And they're really talented, so we should all give them some respect, okay, Garsh? So, at the beginning of the show, when they were doing the previously, they showed Shep going, well, my parents have been together a long time. My parents are really something to aspire to. And then they showed a picture of his parents when they were young. Shep's father looks like he got hit in the face with a pan after doing heroin and, like, smoking a joint. That guy looks so dazed and confused.
Yeah.
I was like, that's what happened to you. Your parents were just a couple of drug addicts. Mm-hmm. They dropped you out in the middle of a library somewhere so you'd think you were smart.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely a little lit, as they would say. And so this episode begins with Shep. He's taking a bubble bath in Texas, and he, like, calls up, he FaceTimes his friend Clay, and this is the way the conversation starts. They just laugh. They just laugh at each other.
He's like, a bubble bath, bro. Yeah, I'm in a bubble bath. Well, you're in a bubble bath, bro. Yeah, it's a bath.
Bro, so... Calgon, take me away. Garsh.
God, I wish I had a girl as good as Calgon. I could sure take her home to my mom. Like, he's too obsessed with his parents think. And then every time they cut back to his parents, his mom's like, well, Shep, aren't you cute?
Yeah.
I'm like, why do we need to see them? He's acting like they're the head of the Rothschild family.
Yeah. Okay?
I'm so sorry, Ben. I have to do this, though, because we're only talking about it one time. I wrote down the theme song. Do you want to hear it?
Oh, yes, please. Yes.
It goes, oh. The end. It's like, wow, they're pulling out the stops for this one.
All the stops. They got a session musician from Fall Out Boy to do that one.
Relationship.
Yeah, relationship. Arrow going through it like Cupid. So Clay is going to set Shep up with a lady, and they're going to go on a double date. So he's like, Garsh, double Garsh, yes. So he's on his way. And the way this show works is that his producer, Sarah, also plays a role on the show. It's kind of cool. It's like this breaking the fourth wall thing a little bit, where it's like, you know, a weird, like we get to see, the producer has an active role. We see her on camera. So they are taking like an Uber or something, an SUV, to this date, and he's just talking to her and saying, Garsh, I just didn't want to do a bunch of candlelight dates in the corner, you know, like it's the same old conversation, same old situation, same old Garsh, Garsh yes, Garsh no, Garsh this, Garsh that.
What's your favorite Garsh?
Yeah.
Hey, what's your Garsh? I'm a Virgo. Garsh. And he's so she's like, I'm Shep. I'm going to set you up with this girl. And she lives with her best friend. She's a wild one. And Shep can't stop touching his face. There's something weird with, you know, because Shep has gotten a little weirder over the years as we've watched Southern Charm. Like, his face has gotten a little bit like not methy. I don't want to say methy because that's like accusatory, and I don't mean it to be that way, but pimply or dry, or there's something weird going on, like tired. I don't know. There's something there. But on this show, you're really weathered. Yeah, weathered. That's good. Yeah, he's basically like my Vespa after 4 years in the rain. Okay. Yeah. But he, and you know, like the wheels are too small, like I'm too big for it. You know, the whole thing. We can go down that path. Hmm. But yeah, he's getting a little weirder. But now we're seeing on this show that's all of his little ticks. Like, he keeps touching his face and like pulling at his own hair and then like scratching behind his ears. And yeah, I don't know if it's like early onset, you know, Ronald Reagan or what, but there's something weird going on.
Garsh, it's just that ever since I heard that song by The Weeknd, I'm just like, Garsh, I can't feel my face, and I want to.
Is my face still there? Garsh, I thought this was a dream. Garsh.
So only in my dreams, Garsh.
Get out of my dreams and into my Uber, okay? Garsh.
Garsh.
You can get into my car. You can get into my mom. You can get out of my dreams and into my mom's car if she approves of you, okay, Garsh?
I got a fast, Garsh. He's got a job at the checkout store.
Garsh. Hey, you want to go see the movie Garsh? Cars. It's like just a bunch of Garshes talking to themselves, talking to each other.
A bunch of Garshes talking to themselves.
So they're Katie. Is it Katie or Sarah?
So Sarah is the producer, and basically they arrive at Topgolf where they meet up with Shep's friend Ray. They met at basketball camp when they were in fourth grade or something. And
in Alabama basketball camp, which is also in the news today, so blame Shep.
Well, actually, it was in the news yesterday. And can you believe that election and what happened, huh? Anyway, so Katie...
Oh, my God. We totally were tricking them up until you said that, until I messed it all up.
Oh, well, everyone knows that we record this on Wednesdays and not on Tuesdays.
We never lie on our iCal.
Yeah. You know, but seriously, that election, when that thing happened, and I was like, Anderson Cooper has to calm down. And then he was like, what? And I was like, well, what a world we live in, right?
Hmm. Oh, gosh. Remember when it was okay to hit on 13-year-olds? When did the world change? Speaking of, let's go see what Shep's dating. It's like some 13-year-olds from Alabama. It's like, wait a minute.
Shep and Ray are on a double date with Katie and Summer. Actually, Shep is with Summer and Ray is with Katie. And they are so Texas. I mean, like, the big hair, their makeup was like put on with a spatula, I think. I mean, it was like the Spatty Daddy. This has been called into service. Like, this is what Shark Tank was made for. It was like somehow plastering just all this makeup on these ladies' faces. It looked like Bob Ross.
That's not fair. Okay. It's not Bob Ross.
Like Bob Ross has been working on it.
Summer just has a stream running down her face.
Like, oh, there's a nose. He lives right there.
Well, look, it looks like some splotches. Whoop, with one brown line. It's a tree. Summer's like, thank you. She can finally speak now that they've given her a creek to speak out of.
She's like, they put a river. The river runs through it. So, the girl's like, nice to meet you.
Girls, they're not Texas, they're ho. Okay, this is some straight up.
It's a hoedown.
It's like those American Girl dolls. They can say the American Girl dolls from Texas. It's the same damn doll with some bangs. You know what I mean? These girls are just hoes. They have such strong necks. That Summer girl especially had about 30 pounds of weave on.
You know, Summer. Yeah, here. This is just some advice to you, Summer. When Kim Zolciak is your fashion inspiration, it's time to rethink certain life goals.
Also, Summer's like too hot. Why don't people name their children Spring? It's like just
they
hot
do.
Enough. You know?
They do.
I've never met everything. Somebody named Spring.
They name Spring, Summer, Autumn, Winter.
Yeah, I've heard of Autumn. I haven't heard of a Winter.
Oh, I know
winter.
A
Winter is coming. Winter is coming.
I know a Winter. Don't we have one of our listeners named Winter with a Y?
Oops, sorry. Well, it doesn't count because it's with a Y. It's kind of like Shep when he's like, Summer, gosh, I've never dated a girl like that. She's like Lara Croft, Golf Raider. Oh, get it? A little bit like Top Golf. Look, can we do that again? She's like Lara Croft, Top Golf Raider. God, I messed it up again. Can we do it again? No, Shep. We've only got Top Golf for 30 minutes. Now go.
So Katie, it turns out, is an unmitigated disaster. She's just awful and annoying, and she's just also one of those girls that loves doing the super girly things. She's like, ooh, do they have pink balls? And then she's like, ooh, I don't know how to do this. Oh, or maybe that was Summer who did that. But it was I think it was actually Summer. She's like, I don't know how to hit the ball. Can you show me? And so he gets, of course, up all around her and everything. It's like, gosh, just take and you hit it just like that. See? Gosh,
Oh, gosh. Yeah, he takes it all seriously. He's like, your hands need to be connected. It's like Shakespeare said, a tree and a river runs through thee, but thy hand engulf a pick. And she's like, oh, my God, that's so smart.
Yeah.
And then Shep explains why he's so romantic about golf. He's like, I grew up with a golf course in the backyard, and my grandfather was like a golf champion of Vesta Golfing, MAA golf. And so I got to be with a girl who knows how to act and how to dress in a country club setting, gosh. What an ass.
It's so pretentious. But, I mean, I do appreciate the honesty of it. He's basically, you know, like, one thing I've always liked about Shep is that he is just, like, a rich kid. And he doesn't shy away from it. He's like, yeah, I need someone to be able to come to the club with me. You know, it's like, I mean, I can't get mad at him. I can't get mad at him. I mean, it's like my gut instinct to be like, oh my God, what an elitist. But then part of me is like, well, that's just, he knows who he is, as opposed to those people that are like, I believe love is love, and I don't care if you're rich or you're poor, but secretly they do care, you know?
I just hate people who don't want to embarrass their mom at the golf club. Like, you're supposed to be embarrassing your mother. It's called becoming your own person, you know? Stop being such a pussy robot, you little country club faggot. You know, that's what I was growing up, and Ronnie. I rebelled. I know what it's like, and I rebelled. I will still wear collarless shirts to the country club, and you can all suck a dick.
Well, you may be more of the Summer Katie type then.
Well, Summer, I mean, Katie is like, meow. I don't know where she heard that. Probably a cat, like a literal cat. But all she does is say meow. She's like, oh my God, golf, meow.
Well, one thing
meow.
I thought was funny was like the date was, the double date was sort of like going along more or less nicely. And then at one point, Summer hit a golf ball and Katie goes, you go, girl. And then the music was like, boom. And Shep looks over angrily. It was like, what? What's wrong? I didn't get it. But it was like, sort of like a subtle implication that like you don't say you go girl at a country club.
Can I ask a question? Did you just say the word faggot? Because that is disgusting. And this show is not built on that. So I would like you to apologize.
I will not take your gaslighting. Okay. You were the one who said
you guys, I got so mad at Shep. I used the F word. I'm so sorry to any country club faggito burritos out there. I didn't mean it. I felt the guilt like 2 minutes later. Sorry.
Didn't you hear me go, whoa.
I did, but I felt like it didn't matter when you called straight people that at the time. But then I realized later, it didn't feel good later. Okay, I'm sorry,
everybody.
I like that
Ronnie is actually, Ronnie is the one who's like, I can't believe he would say he doesn't want someone who might embarrass him in public. Well, he's a F word. I'm like, I think you may have been more at fault here.
Yeah, see, and I found Ben. So you see, I have to have patience for others.
It's okay, Ryan. Guys, if it makes you feel better, you know, I'll never take you to the country club.
Oh, that's so relation Ben of you.
Relation Ben. No, because I know you would hate it.
That's such a good Ben-lationship.
Also, I'm not in a
country
club.
I've always been a member of the country club, so suck it, okay? And everyone from the El Paso Country Club, you remember me. Don't pretend you don't.
Isn't that funny? I'm not in a country club, and I've never been part of a country club, and yet I empathize with Shep's sentiment, but you're the one who actually is in a country club, and you're the one
I know what it's like to be in that world, you know, where everyone's trying to top each other with their money, and they're all being pretentious, and they're all trying to impress each other, even though they're all depressed, and their husbands are all cheating. But they're like, look, I got a new Suburban. I mean, this was a long time ago. And I just remember thinking, fuck you. I don't want to be a part of this. It's disgusting. You're a bunch of sheep. Even though those were all my best friends, too, because that's who I grew up with. But just that whole lifestyle, it's like, F you. So this show, basically what happened, you guys, is I started going on a hateful rant because I was triggered. Okay? So there. That's what happened right now.
I was like, oh, I love this. Waspiness. That's how I'm a Jew, and I just aspire to someday be a wasp, but it'll never happen.
Well, you run towards it, I'll run away from it, and we meet in the middle and make a podcast. Oh.
Or we could just follow Katie's life mantra, which is, that's how I live my life. Just look cute. That's all that matters.
Also, hey. I love red wine with Dr. Pepper inside of it.
My
meow.
Tinder profile says, feed me queso and tell me I'm pretty. Or I'll just hot and I love it. I love it. Shep is
I feel like no one does either of those things for her. It's like no one feeds her queso and no one tells her she's pretty.
Well,
just sits around going, meow.
But she's also full of shit, because if someone offered her queso on a date, I bet she'd be like, he offered me queso. Like, didn't he realize it was a joke? I'm pretty. I don't do that.
What does he think? I'm Mama June? What an asshole.
And then it was just like they kept cutting back to all these things she was saying, and Shep was just getting more and more horrified. Like, his waspy heart was just crumbling. And because she's like, I only play tennis because I can wear the scarf. He's like, gosh. Oh gosh. Please don't say anything about croquet. Gosh, what's croquet? Is that something you can eat? Oh gosh.
Gosh, she's like, meow. And he's like, gosh, my mom's embarrassed enough that I'm at a Topgolf in the first place. She's never gonna let me back in the house, gosh. And Summer, so Shep's date, Summer, the Summer hoe, she keeps pulling at her hair. She's like keeps pulling at her weave and touching her weave, and he keeps touching his face. And I'm like, their odd insecurity Tourette's is going to make them fall in love. I was like, he's found the woman. You know, she's a mess. You know, she tries to cover up her bad qualities with makeup, and she can't stop touching her features. So
yeah,
I was wrong.
So Shep is like, I can't deal with this kitty girl anymore. She's too trashy for me. So he just basically swoops Summer away, and they're going to go off to a bar together alone. And so they're in their Uber, and Summer's like, yeah, my favorite book is The Alchemist. And Shep's like, what? Instant boner. Gosh, I love The Alchemist. It's like a parable. You have to dig a little deeper to think about it. Gosh.
And she's like, yeah, I mean, like when that mouse was trying to teach the other mouse not to move the cheese, he's like, no, that was a fable, Garsh. She's like, but I learned what Alchemist is.
Alchemist is about a chemist named Al. I love that book. Oh,
because you know the producer is like, look, he can't find anybody to date him at this point. So just pretend you read, please.
Yeah, just say you just like find the
name of. Yeah, just find the name of one book. And she walked into the bookstore, into the A section, and was like, ah, Alchemy. She's like, it's pronounced Alchemist, okay? Does it have a mouse in it? Yes, okay, just go. Just go. Go with it.
So then she's like, I don't know, I've lived such a cushioned life. He's like, cushioned? Oh. She's like, what? Yeah, cushioned. She's like, I think you mean cushy. She's like, cushy, cushioned. Cushy. She's like, well, maybe it's my accent. I think you mean cushy. I'm like, Shep, just let it slide. It's okay. You don't have to correct her. You're being an asshole.
Well, speaking of correcting, I thought she was saying, well, here's the thing about my life. Like, I've led a very Christian life. And he goes, Christian? She's like, Christian.
No, she's saying cushioned. Cushioned.
Oh, I thought she was saying Christian.
No, that's why she was saying cushioned. That's why he was saying cushy.
Oh, well, that makes me feel better, because I was like, Jesus was a lot of things, but he was not someone who walked around with 20 pounds of weave on his head.
Well, I'll tell you who probably lived a very cushioned, cushy life. It's probably Mr. Shepherd himself. And I guarantee you one thing he probably never did himself was cook himself an honest meal. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'll bet Shep doesn't know how to make a shepherd's pie.
Mm-hmm. But maybe if he used HelloFresh, it'd be a different story. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah. Look, we use HelloFresh. It is a box. It's a bunch of meals in a box. Everything's color-coded and portioned, so you're not just buying the same damn thing at the store. Like, oh, look, I chopped an onion and then made some olive oil stuff and then ate it and it tasted mediocre. No, this is a lot of new stuff you've probably never even tried yourself, and it's easy to make because they teach you exactly how to do it.
Yeah, you get three plans to choose from: classic, veggie, and family. Like the classic is like a variety of meat, fish, and seasonal produce. The veggie has vegetarian recipes. I mean, obviously, with plant-based proteins and grains. And then the family one is just like quick and easy meals with all the yum-worthy flavor the whole family will love. Not sure if Dr. Pepper is included. Katie, I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah, each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices to seasoned home cooks short on time. You won't even embarrass my mom.
Yeah, gosh. Feel confident when cooking HelloFresh with the simple recipes outlined on pictured step-by-step instruction cards. I mean, you could try the Hall of Fame customer-voted favorite Juicy Lucy Burger with tomato onion jam and arugula salad. Gosh, just like the country club.
HelloFresh is now offering light summer meals. Like Summer, the girl I'm currently on a date with really heavy hairs and not an understanding of the word cushy or what a fable is or what an alchemist does. You know, but delicious.
Yeah, gosh, we love it so much. One time I made a pork chop and it was better than any other pork chop I ever made in my life. And that's a true story. Even though I'm speaking in Shep voice, it's a Ben story. Gosh.
It's less than $10 a meal, okay? So here's the special call. You need to go to HelloFresh.com and use the promo code Crappins at checkout.
No, you're wrong. It's Crappins 30.
Oh, 30, code. You know why?
Gosh. Every week I have to say this to you. Crappins 30.
I'm so sorry. I would like to apologize to my mother for embarrassing her and the country club for not wearing a collared shirt while I did it. Gosh.
Gosh, that's HelloFresh.com. Promo code Crappins 30. Gosh.
Yeah, it's Crappins 30 because you get $30 off your first week of meals. crappins30 at hellofresh.com, Garsh.
Glad we got that covered.
Unlike anything on Summer's Body. Am I right, people?
Oh, my God. By the way, I think really that thing you said about the summer thing, that was from they have winter stuff, too, by the way. they're doing winter stuff right now, not summer
stuff. Well, again, I know people named Summer, so I'm keeping Summer in HelloFresh forever. Because Summer, you're going to last as long, and Shep's life as Summer did in Oz, which means you're already gone. All right, let's move on.
Let's move on to the next morning after this date with Katie and Summer. So Sarah wakes up Shep. He's like, oh, good morning, Garsh. And the question is, does Shep want to take Summer back to Charleston? Because the whole point of this show is that he's going to these different cities to meet girls, and then he's going to invite them all back to Charleston, and then they're going to live in a house together, and it's going to play out Bachelor style, which I think is kind of weird. It's one thing to do, like, the Bachelor thing, but it's another to do, like, this cross-country dates where you are, like, it's under the guise of, like, I'm really dating people, if that makes sense. Like, this whole show, it's like this... It feels like it's more of a realistic view of someone dating, but then
well, it's like a one man, yeah, it's like a one man American Idol, but it's IDLE. Yeah. It's just like the judge just travels all over doing nothing, having nothing to talk about,
yeah,
and just but judging a bunch of fame hungry hoes who don't even know what they want in life, but yeah, show up because it's an audition.
So Shep is like, so the question is, you know, when the date ended, Shep was saying that he really felt like Summer was deeper than he first gave her credit for, and that he shouldn't be judging books by their weaves. But then Shep the next day was like, I'm not sure, because he's like, I'm not sure if I'm going to take Summer back to Charleston, because I don't know anybody in my life that really quite looks like that, which is kind of like his way of saying she looks slutty. She's dressed too much makeup, too much hair. She won't fit in, which is really not a very romantic statement. Like the romantic statement is love is love. And even though she doesn't fit in, I love her and I don't care. But he's like, gosh, no, she's not getting a taste of mom's meatloaf anytime soon. Gosh.
Yeah. He's like, look, she's somebody's dream. Just not anybody in Charleston's. I mean, what's my mom gonna say? Why don't you just go fuck your mom already, okay? The guys like this, who all they care about is what their mom's gonna think, or their mom's gonna say, or their mom's judgment. Nobody wants to be married to that, because the wife is gonna be sitting there getting dirty looks the whole time, like she's not good enough for Shep. I'm gonna compete with her for ships. Like, you can't even comb his hair. You have no claim on good motherhood. Mother.
Yeah.
Triggered.
So now Shep is he's contemplating inviting Jesse to Charleston. Jesse was in episode one. He went on a really good date with her. They had like a really good rapport. She's really smart. She's funny. She's quick. She seems well read. She's very pretty. But he didn't extend an invite to her on the spot, which was surprising. He's like, gosh, I'm not sure. She sort of intimidates me. But then today, now that he's gone out with two hoes in Dallas, he's like, maybe I should extend an invite to Jesse. I don't know why I was waiting so long.
Well, Jesse's an asshole, first of all. Jesse's like, I'm going to be picked, so we're going to have a date in a library. Okay. Yeah, we're all buying it, Jesse.
It wasn't in a library. Smart. They went to Salt and Straw, and then they walked to the last bookstore in downtown LA, and then they were looking at books.
I just saw it from the clip, but I was like, I'm sure. Shep's like, let's look at books. Hey, guess what mom does? Book club. Is there a book club around here? It's like, oh my God.
They had a really good date. They had a really, really good date. It's probably the best date that we've seen. Although later on this episode, there was actually a pretty good date. So, but either way, he's like, gosh, you want to come to Charleston? She's like, work's busy, so no. Which... to me, I think what obviously is going to happen is that, you know, because he's mentioned her a few times now during this episode, oh, I'm bummed. I don't like being rejected. I think what's going to happen is like four episodes down the line, just as things are going well with one girl, Jesse's going to show up in Charleston and it's going to be like, gosh, what do I do now? Because I really like her, you know?
Well, do they tell these girls what the show is? Like, do they tell them he's traveling around, he's going to pack some hoes in a pickup truck, ship them to Charleston? Because they seem like shocked that they have to go be on TV, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a very good question. That's what I was wondering too. And that's why I say it's weird, because it seems like the show is very much just trying to sell this idea that he's going and having dates in different cities and getting to know people. But then when you then have to then send them all to Charleston. They live in a house. That does not fit that naturalist vibe that the show is presenting right in these first two episodes.
Well, it goes to prove my original judgment that I can't prove because I'm never around Shep. But I feel like Shep just smells like pickles and nobody knows why. He's like one of those guys that just has an odd smell because, like, he'll eat a pickle and then put his fingers through his hair. And then it's like he looks cute on TV and on paper, like he's got a mom, apparently. I mean, that's all I really know about him, and that he doesn't comb his hair. But then you get with him and you're like, something smells like pickles, and I think it's him. Yeah. I'm out.
Maybe it's some of those pickles from Boston that we got.
Grillo's pickles. No, they'd love them if they were there. If you smelled like a gourmet pickle. Yeah. Okay.
That's one thing.
Yeah. A Grillo's pickle would have been delicious.
Yeah. So now Shep heads up to Austin, which is funny because I thought he already was in Austin. Ha ha.
My mom, when it said they drive to Austin, my mom goes, "Promise." From the back. And then she goes, "I can't believe people watch this shit." I said, "Mom, we were just watching a remake of Little Women on Lifetime that changed book writing into texting. So please don't judge my television shows. Okay?" Back the hell off.
So Shep goes and meets a girl named Amber at a food truck. And already you can tell they're going to get along really well because they have matching hat shirts. Like, his hat is like this crazy bright green and her shirt is a crazy bright green. And you just know it's like, gosh, it's like we're at Topgolf all over again, gosh.
He's like, "Whoa, this is like Dr. Pepper and wine. I'm scared." Yeah. And he calls Cam to get some advice. She's like, "Hi, Shep. What's up, loser?" And he's like, "Whoa, this is so hard. Like, it's sensory overload." And she's like, "I have a child inside of me." Click.
Yeah.
He's like, "Okay, good to talk to you." So he meets Amber, the marketing director, and she has a dog named Moon. So at first I was like, "Oh, this is one of those fake Austin hippies I hate."
Yeah, me too.
Like, she's like, "I'm a hippie," but then she's stealing your weed. It's like one of those girls. But she wasn't. She was actually a nice girl.
She was really nice. And this scene was important because it raised a very important question, which is, has Shep ever gotten tacos before? Ever? Because he's like, "What's good here?" And she's like, "Oh, well, the Al Pastor's good." He's like, "Al Pastor? That's my name in Spanish. The shepherd. Oh my god. Well, I'll have to get the Al Pastor because it's named after me." I'm it's like being like, "Burrito? They have something called a burrito?"
"Yeah, it's named after me because I'm cold. Burr. It's named after me.
And Judge Lancito, and I love the OJ trial."
Yeah, the guy behind the counter in the truck is like, "Yes, El Pastor." And he's like, "Yeah, see?" Which I don't know, but I do know that in Vanderpump Rules, we talked about the shepherd, and now we're talking about the shepherd again, and it's like a whole fucking day of shepherds.
Shepherds, yeah. Yeah, nothing. It's like we're stuck in a big old shepherd's pie.
And he looks at Dog's Moon, or the dog Moon, and he goes, "Does every dog like this have different colored eyes?" She goes, "No." And he goes, "Whoa, that's so unique."
Keep dogs weird, right? So Shep likes Austin because it reminds him of all the great places he's ever been. And Amber specifically is like a long lost friend. So there's some good chemistry going on between them.
And looks normal. Just like Cameron, which I think is a good call from the internet. People are like, he's just basically looking for Cameron, right?
Yeah.
But also this started a thing that happens over and over on this show. He's like, "Where did you go to college?" And she's like, "Well, LSU." And he's like, "Whoa, wait. She didn't say LSU. She said somewhere." And he's like, "How was Baton Rouge? I love that place. I love that college. It's like fun. It's great." I think Shep has fucked somebody from every college in America. Because every time we ask somebody, like, "What college are you from?" "Oh my god, I love that college. Here's what the sorority houses are like there."
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Chukalaga Community College. I love that college.
Yeah, everybody has a Brazilian there for some reason. It's weird, right?
So after this Amber day, it's the next day, and Shep has been set up with this girl named Priscilla, who's from Brazil, because it's like Sarah's friend's Kira's friend's friend, something like that. So I feel like the date gets off on a very strange note because Shep shows up at the top of a staircase outside and Priscilla's at the bottom and he just flings a frisbee at her. It's like, she's not a dog.
Yeah. He's like, whoa, Moon, catch. Oh, sorry. I'm so discombobulated.
Oh, you fixed your eyes, Moon.
He's like, Priscilla, well, she's the queen of the desert, but that doesn't count where I'm from. I don't know if my mom will like her. So yeah. Priscilla is kind of an asshole, which I love about her. Yeah. And she's really dry and sarcastic and just gives him shit. And
she's also like a foot tall. So they have this huge like height differential. And you can tell that he's not into her right from the get-go, because he's like, yeah, Priscilla, she's a bit more age appropriate, a bit more mature, which is cool. It's cool, Garsh. Very cool. Yeah.
He's like, wow, if this show is called Gilflationship, she might have a chance, okay?
Yeah. So basically they're talking about Brazilian culture, because she was born in Brazil and her family's Brazilian, and they speak Portuguese a lot and everything. And Shep is like, wow, I was introduced to Brazilian culture by my nanny. And she's like, what? Your nanny?
And he goes, what? Is that not cool? No, it's not cool, Shep, to be bringing up your nanny on the date. It's like second to your mother.
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you talk about what your mother likes about Brazil, you loser? And he goes, I know about Brazil. See. And she's like, that's Spanish, but okay. Which happens to also be okay in Spanish. So hope you got that, bilingual loser.
Yeah, they have zero chemistry. And so, but they go to a bar and they get beer. She's like, yeah, I'll get a beer. I'm like, fine, I'll get a shiner, whatever. And so Shep is like sitting there being super dainty. He's eating a nacho and he's like wiping off salt from the nacho, which to me is like one of the most ridiculous things you could ever do to a nacho.
Like, he's
if
like
you're getting nachos,
years old.
You're eating that salt. I'm sorry.
No, it's not even the nacho. It's the worst white people food you can ever order, which, by the way, I constantly order and is delicious. Spinach dip. Okay, it's spinach and artichoke dip that he orders, which I'm already embarrassed for him.
You're right.
It's like ordering a thin girl. It's ordering a thin girl a bowl of mayonnaise. Like, could you say, I don't give a shit about your figure anymore, lady, or what you want or what your needs are?
Yeah. So he's like brushing the salt off the tortilla chip, and Priscilla's like, wow, you really complain a lot. He's like, Garsh, you complain a lot. Do I complain a lot? I hate this place. It makes me complain a lot.
It's like, oh, she's mean. She's like, oh, did I hurt your feelings? Like, she hates him.
Yeah. And yet, at the same time, she's like, well, I want to, well, this was fun. I've got to leave soon, but this was fun. Like, we should hang out again. And he's like, really, Garsh? Which is surprising, because I thought that she couldn't stand him. And he's like, you want to see me again? I'm not even a catch. I mean, and she's like, yeah, you're right. I mean, you are dirty and you don't work and you have no ambition. Ha, 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 ha. That's a joke.
Yeah, she's like, I'm just kidding. Don't be offended. And he's like, you can't say I'm just joking after everything. And then he tells us, yeah, she's like giving it to me, but she hasn't earned that yet. I'm like, well, considering you've earned nothing ever. Yeah. I think we can give the girl some leeway. Oh, by the way, I have to say about the waiter, because I haven't made fun of enough waiters lately. Shep goes, I want the spinach and artichoke dip. And he goes, whoa, good choice. Fuck off. Thanks for your opinion. Clear.
You're like my dad. My dad hates when waiters give their opinions.
Oh, it's like no one asked for your compliments on my ordering skills. It's like, oh, yes. The waiter approves. So
that's exactly what my dad is like. My dad. So Priscilla's like, oh, I'm sorry. I was just joking. I was just, you know, giving you the business. Because remember before you said that you can take it when I asked you if you could take it. And it looks sort of like you can't take it. But I guess you're saying you can take it. So I guess you can take it. He's like, oh, I can take it. I have the skin of an alligator. She's like, apparently not. He's like, gosh.
She's like, actually, you literally do, because you don't know how to use moisturizer, loser. See in Charleston. And he's like, God, I wore my Element shirt for her. This is burger spelled out in Elements.
And beer, too. I actually liked that shirt. I was like, that's kind of a cool shirt. So then Shep
hey,
has like a
beer. Hey, Ben, good choice.
Thanks. It's like the spinach and artichoke dip of shirts. So they just have like their whole rapport is so awkward, because he's like, so when's your ride gonna get here, or something like that. He's like, I didn't mean it like that. And then he has again like another kind of interesting comment about the date. He's like, well, you know, someone like that who's like raw, you know, can rub friends and friends' wives the wrong way. And I sort of thought that, A, I appreciated the comment because it meant that producers had a chance to roll out the Catherine running after Thomas clip again.
Thomas, come back!
But at the same time, it's like one of those things where it's like a little bit of like, I had mixed feelings. On one hand, it's like, this is not a very romantic thing to say. Like, I feel like you wouldn't hear that on The Bachelor, right? I mean, you watch The Bachelor, I don't. But I don't feel like you'd hear Prince Charming saying like, she's not going to mix well with my friends' wives, so I don't think I can date her, you know? But I think realistically, that is something people think about. And I think, you know, I've certainly thought about that before. Like, when I've dated someone, I thought, is this someone that I can bring around my friends? Because, you know, for me, it's important that I can, like, hang out with my friends and a boyfriend, you know?
I mean, please, it's Shep. Who are his friends? Whitney, okay? He's also obsessed with his mother. Then you've got Thomas, who's like some drug dealer. He's always trying to trick his wife into failing drug tests, or his ex-wife that he just used 20 years younger to have babies. And then who else? JD, Craig. Who's like JD. Not paying his rent. And Craig who doesn't like, have a wife, so who cares?
I mean, you make a good point. You make a good point. I don't know who
I mean, in general, when you generalize this stuff, you're totally correct. But specifically, it's Shep.
I actually did not think Priscilla was great in general. I believe it or not, I actually think that what he said, that she hadn't really earned the right to be, like joking, quote-unquote joking so hard, was a fair statement. I thought she was annoying. I thought she was annoying.
I thought she was straight-up bitchy.
She was, like, a bitch in a way that's not fun. It wasn't, like, the way Cameron can be, you know? And I think that he probably thinks of like, who can I hang out with Cameron, right? And he's like, this will not be a good mix with Cameron.
Yeah, Cameron will kill her. Yeah. Like, she'll take that roast beef pot she used one time and slam it over her head. Like, she'll murder her.
So Shep, that reminds me. We didn't see that on Southern Charm this last season. We didn't see that lady who teaches them how to cook, right? I like her.
Yeah, we didn't see it. Well, she probably got fired after making somebody sick after letting Cameron leave dishwasher bubbles on one of the pots. Remember? I'm still mad about it. It was like years ago.
Oh, yeah. It was like drawing with a... You have just like awakened a terrible memory for me.
I'm telling you, it's like Antarctica's warming and it's uncovering all of these diseases that were thought long dead.
Yeah.
It's like that. What I just did to you. Like I just regave you polio.
Thank you. So now Shep goes off to New York City and he's decided that he's going to invite Amber to Charleston, which in my mind, I'm like, why didn't you invite her? Like, why did you give an invite spot on to the dumb rodeo girl from episode one? This girl, this stupid farm girl she's not stupid because she works on a farm. I'm just saying the farm girl is what makes her distinctive and she does rodeo. He gives her an invite to Charleston on the spot. And yet, Amber and her moon dog, who have great chemistry, he doesn't even get... He waits like a day to give her the invite? No. So he...
Well, the dog bit him, remember? He's like, And she goes, did he bite you? Because he doesn't bite anybody. And he's like, maybe it's a love bite. Or maybe you smell like pickles. So I feel like he left there feeling insecure. He wasn't sure.
I'm being chased by a moon shadow. Gosh, and bit me. So,
I don't know if you want to bring home to your stick up her ass mom a girl who carries around a 24-pack of Bud Light, you know?
I like that. So Amber, basically, he calls up Amber, is like, you want to come to Charleston and hang out? And she's like, I feel weird dating someone on camera, so no.
He's like, I don't know if I could do that whole on film thing, you know? Okay, you named your dog Moon, and you're an Austin hippie, and you've already shot an episode, so shut up. You need attention. Get over here.
So Shep meets up with his friend Kate, and she's like, oh my god, I'm going to introduce you to Bella. And she's 23, but she's like a mature 23. You're going to love Bella. So he's like, okay, gosh.
And he's like, 23? That's not so bad. How old is Shep?
37.
Okay, so I was just curious.
Yeah.
It doesn't change my judgment. My judgment is still as strong.
Yeah.
So Shep is like, wow. Wait, hold on. Let me get to the young person. Oh, he goes, we're simpatico.
Well, Shep basically, he shows up on this date with Bella in Brooklyn, and he's just put on like a new little bomber jacket, and he like steps out of the car and he's like, gosh, look at this jacket, it's too small and the tag's still on it, will you help me get it off? And I'm like, hey, that's like a pretty like clever, you know, flirty move, leave the tag on and be like, can you help me get this off? But it also like highlights how helpless he is in life.
Yeah, and she's just basically like, ha ha ha, and he's like, ha ha ha, ha ha ha, ha ha ha, and that's the whole thing. And then they go to an escape room, which Bravo needs to just stop it with this.
Yeah, they go, and then and Shep,
they
and
go
Shep,
in there. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, babe.
I can always tell when you've hit the fast forward button. I'm like, oh, but,
but you're right. I'm like, escape room, and then he, you know, he fucks a wall and it's over. Okay, bye. Click, drop the mic.
I'm like, so anyway, so yeah, they're in the escape room, and well, whatever, we'll just go.
No,
forward.
I'm kidding. No, I'm.
My flow is ruined.
I know. Hustle and flow, bitch. Never let your hoe keep you down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they go into this secret. They go into one of these Bravo like escape rooms, and they're in two different little jail cells. And he's like, gosh, I don't know where there's a key. Do you? I think we have to find a key for the locks. And she's like, I found this piece of wood that looks like a ruler type of wood. He's like, how do I get the key? She said she has a long piece of wood.
At which point he knocks himself out unnecessarily. He like bashes his head against the window. He's like, gosh.
I know. Like, it's like they finally captured Lurch.
The prospects of getting out of this escape room do not look good. So anyway, after they get out of the escape room, Shep takes Bella to a place called the Bushwick Country Club, which is a bar, but I think we all know the reason why he took her there. And so Bella's very beautiful. She's got like a little bit of like a Liv Tyler thing going on. And she's basically like, so you're 37 and single, what's wrong with you? And he's like, born rich.
Yeah, born wealthy, smell like pickles. Anything else? So Katie's like, you have to ask her because literally everybody's saying no. Sarah, wait, is there another one named Katie?
Katie was the disaster at Top Golf.
Oh, okay. So Sarah's like, you need to like get her on your side or whatever. So he's like, oh my gosh, I'm freaking out. Like, how do you talk to 23-year-old? Should I say something like step off the curb? What about Wiggy? Wiggy. And she's like, no, just go ask her. So he's like, so hey, I live in Charleston, like, want to hang out? And she's like, ha 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 ha.
And yeah, she doesn't really answer. She just sort of smiles and is like, why am I on a date with this creepy old daddy type?
Yeah, she's like, and pickles.
Yes.
So let me see. did you hang up? I thought you
No, hit, I started to talk, and we both started to talk at the same time.
You go, because you know what I was going to say. And then escape room.
Yeah. I had a feeling, so I was like, I'll just steer this ship. So, because you were like, and then Katie put the Dr. Pepper in the Coke. I was like, uh-oh.
And then Katie Lee Joel Osment came back.
Yeah.
And she's like, I want to be back on Top Chef, and I can only see Bruce Willis. Ha ha.
So basically, it's the next day, and where we're at with the show is that the whole conceit is that Shep is going to go around the country and invite all these girls to this house, and then he's going to whittle them down. Except the problem is only two people have accepted the invitation. So they're like, Shep, you have to invite someone. What about Priscilla? She said she wanted to see you again. He's like, I don't know. And he's like, come on, Priscilla, do Priscilla. He's like, okay. They're like, no, don't text her, call her. He's like, oh, I'm like, he does not like her. Why are you forcing him to invite this woman into the house? He cannot stand her.
He's like, can't I just text her an emoji of an eggplant and some salt?
So then he's like, all right, I'll leave a voicemail. Oh, no one leaves voicemails. Oh, okay. Oh, Priscilla, hi, it's Shep. You want to come to Charleston? By the way, I will be participating in trivia tonight in Brooklyn. Weird, right? Bye. And he's like, gosh, I was too verbose. I was
so overtly communicative. I hope she can take it. So he is now going on this date with a girl named Arden.
Yeah.
So when they said at the commercial, they're like, coming up on Shep or Sheps. It said, oh my God, she's having seizures. And then you see him closing the door. And so I thought this girl named Arden was going to break out into seizures at any moment, right?
Right.
So I'm looking at Arden like, oh my God, what's wrong with her? She's about to have a seizure. She has He's about to have a seizure. Like, I was waiting for it, and it never happened, and I'm really upset.
I was fortunate in that I fast-forwarded in the coming up next, because either I just didn't want the surprise to be ruined, or I just didn't care that much. Either way, I fast-forwarded, and then so Shep and Arden are at trivia, and I felt bad for Arden. She seemed really nervous. She also seemed to me like someone who is, like, a nerdy girl, and she was, like, somehow plucked to be on this show, so she, like, borrowed her friend's black dress and, like, did her hair, and then you could tell she was, like, very uncomfortable in, like, being on this date and being in these clothes, and she was just very sort of stiff and awkward, and they were trying to come up with a naughty name for their trivia team, and she just comes on, like, way too strong. She's like, how about plant a rose in Arden's garden? And he's like, yeah, that's great. That's excellent. Oh, okay, well, we'll go with that. That's hilarious.
That's hilarious. Just like the book The Secret Garden, where Mary's mother is dead from a terrible plague. Wow, Mom's not going to like this very much. What do I do?
You're like a regular Charlotte Bronte. Do you know where that umlaut goes on that name?
So he's like, tell me more about yourself. And she's like, okay, I live in Boston. I have a client here in New York. UN of Vermont. And he's like, oh my God, I love University of Vermont. Everybody's so smart and they know how to put up tents. And she's like, you know what public ivy is? And he's like, what does that mean? And then they're like, oh, trivia time. It's all about Star Wars. And she's like, oh, Jesus. And he's like, oh, my God. And he starts touching his face all over the place. He's like, oh, my God, I have to win.
It's like, this filmmaker inspired George Lucas to make Star Wars. He's like, gosh, has to be Kubrick, right? I mean, it's got to be Kubrick. It's got to be Kubrick. And she's like, it's totally got to be Kubrick. I mean, yeah, of course. Oh, gosh. I mean, because George Lucas saw that movie, and then he made that movie TXR, XR, TX, XY, Dark Empire, and it's like, gosh, why do I know this stuff? Gosh.
Who was the director of Steamboat Willie? Gosh.
Why is there so much salt on this tortilla also? Gosh.
She's like, are you trying to wipe salt off of my head? What are you doing? Gosh, I'm sorry. I'm so nervous. I can't stop myself. So then Sarah's like, oh my God, I have to go. My mom's having seizures. She's in the hospital. He's like, thank God I got that question wrong and I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah. She leaves, and then he puts, I almost called him Garsh. Shep puts Arden into a car. It's like, Garsh, see you later. And then he goes to the hospital because he really cares for Sarah. And I don't know if this is the sort of show where they're trying to imply that at the end of the day, like, the real love is going to be Sarah, the producer. But he goes there to be with Sarah and her mom. And the mom's like, so am I on TV now? Is this what's happening? Am I being filmed? Something is wrong with my head. They say it's seizures. Have you found love, Shepard? Have you found love yet?
He's like, do you mind if we use flash? She's like, I just said I was having seizures. Also, Sarah's sister is there, and she's looking at the camera crew like, are you fucking kidding me? My mom just almost died. Like, you're going to let my sister bring in the reality crew right now? Fuck you guys. But she didn't say anything. And the mom's like, well, what about Katie? What about Sarah? Is someone going to take care of Sarah? I don't want to leave with Sarah being alone. He's like, don't worry, I'll get her an Uber, Garsh.
Yeah. And he's like, Garsh, well, you know, the truth is, Sarah, I wanted to leave with you right that moment, but I thought it would be rude to leave Arden behind. So I put her in an Uber, knowing that I'd be right behind you soon, or whatever. And the music was, like, all sad and nice. And then I think he even says about it to the mom, because she's like, I think I'm going to live. And she's like, yeah. And at the end of this, the big twist is that I'm going to wind up with Sarah. And then he hugs her. And it was like,
Aww. And Cameron's at home like, oh, my God, thank the Lord. She's next to Shep's mom. And Shep's mom is like licking the TV and Tonta. Yeah. Shep's mom's like, now that girl can come to the country club.
Yeah. So that was it for that. Now it is Wednesday, and the exciting news is we publicly shamed Mike Bowman into doing a proper Crappins what do we call it again?
Spotlight. Spotlight.
So, alert. And it literally arrived a minute ago. So I'm downloading it as we speak. It has not been listened to. And
oh no, what if he calls me the F word, the worst word you could ever call somebody, and shows total disrespect, which I would never do purposely.
Well, he might. That's the joy of live podcasting. All right, so let me load this up into iTunes. Hold on.
It might as well be live. Our ass ain't editing it.
Yeah, Ronnie. Oh, we forgot to put our musical bed like we did for Vanderpump Rules yesterday. Oh well, I'll just do that later. Okay, I'm gonna load this in. We're loading it in. This is gonna be very exciting to hear Mike Bowman's big moment. I have to it's a whole process of me writing in things like I've got to group it, put in the right playlist, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, we ready to hear what Mike has to say?
Yeah.
Where is it?
Oh, Mike, I'm so glad Mike Bowman did this. You know, we sure love Mike.
Oh, yeah. Wait, hold on a second. Now I've lost it. See, this is what happens. This is what happens when you try to do a listener spotlight on the fly. Okay. we're going to get... Oh, that's why. I labeled it incorrectly. This is really compelling content.
Crying out loud.
Here we go.
No
here we go.
Kidding.
Listen, this is from Mike, okay?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Mike Bowman. You may remember me from things such as the Watch What Crappens Google Hangout, or the mailbag where I ask stupid questions like, what's your favorite Girl Scout cookie? If you remember, Ben's answer was, thanks a lot. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you may see me in the Watch What Crappens Facebook group, or the other Crappens Facebook group that name always changes, like P. Diddy's, when he's not on Sonya's yacht. Or you might not even know who the hell I am at all. I mean, who the hell am I? So, I'm Mike Bowman. I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I'm a financial analyst. I've been participating, listening to Watch What Crappens for 3 years. Prior to that, I was at Television Without Pity, where my username was Rusty Spigot, which I still use elsewhere, because that got shut down.
By Bravo.
And then I was homeless like Bethany, wandering around the internet, and then I wandered into Watch What Crappens, and now I'm just bleeding everywhere around Watch What Crappens, just like Bethany. Other than that...
I'm bleeding on the floor.
Maybe
seriously?
See some of you in Chicago at the show that's coming up next May. It'll be around my birthday, so yay. And now I'll just leave quietly. like an elegant person does. Bye.
Thank you, Mike.
Mike, we love you. What did we do the 3 years without Mike?
I'm surprised that... Yeah, I feel like Mike has always been there, but apparently not.
Me too. What the hell, Mike?
You know, Mike is, he's got a real dry sense of humor, and he's always the very first person on our monthly hangouts, and we just really love him, and he's so sweet, and as much as he's being like, whatever, you know, he's like he's got a really big heart, I feel like.
He's a sweet guy.
Or he's just conning us.
He's a really sweet guy, and he's funny as fuck. His comments are always really, really good.
Yeah, keep an eye out for his comments on the internet. Because they're good ones.
We sure love you, Mr. Bowman.
Thank you for submitting your Crappens Spotlight. Oh, we didn't even play the little Crappens Spotlight music for him. Here, we'll play it.
God, I really didn't.
Spotlight. There we go.
Oh, I really did mess with your flow earlier. I didn't mean to do that.
No, it wasn't you. It was my coffee situation was suboptimal today. And you know, you can only say gosh so many times in 1 hour before your brain just shuts down spontaneously.
Well, I felt like we had to get it in there, because that's all we're doing for relationship. It's over. Or relationship, sorry.
Yeah.
That's over as far as we're concerned. We're going to wait for Southern Charm, because next week our schedule is going to be Atlanta, Vanderpump Rules. Then Wednesday is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Return. And Thursday is Jersey. And Friday is that other one we did. Oh, Top Chef.
Top Chef.
So
but you go full. Out of town. But you leave on your cruise on Wednesday, do you not?
Nope. I'm coming home tomorrow. And then I come back here the 21st, which I don't know when that is.
That's
next
Thursday.
Week? That's disgusting. So we could record at night, Jersey, so I'll still be here for that. And then I leave on the cruise Christmas Eve. So I'm only going to be gone the week that we're taking off for Christmas. So
oh, okay.
I'll be here for all the shows.
Okay. Well, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for you.
Me too. I'm excited that it's almost Christmas. I can't believe it. It's almost the new year. And we've had such a great year here.
And it's Hanukkah today, tonight.
Happy Hanukkah, man.
We're in the midst of Hanukkah. It's Hanukkah time.
Oh my God, I'm getting you so many presents for every day of Hanukkah.
Oh my God, I haven't gotten a Hanukkah present yet, so this will be very exciting. Although everyone was really nice at my birthday over the weekend, I got a lot of little gifts, which I never get gifts on my birthday anymore. I feel like once I hit like 13, I had my bar mitzvah, and that was it for birthday gifts. And suddenly this weekend, everyone decided to get me a little something, which was so nice to everyone. Leon, our friend Leon, she baked me a bundt cake. And Katie Cazorla made me another cake. And then my friend Daria made me ginger bars. It was just like, I'm just plumping myself up with all your gifts.
That is so sweet. And it also reminds me to shout out to my friends. Thanks for nothing, you poor motherfuckers. And I'm never inviting you to anything again. So thanks.
Gosh, you just have to go on a cross-country tour to find better friends. And invite them back to LA and put them in a house and decide who's going to be your new friend.
And let Landon pick them for you.
Oh, that's who you missed. Landon was on the first episode. You know, it's actually a shame that this show is on in such a intense period for Bravo programming, because we would actually have a ball. We would have a really fun time going through it. But
I sure did today. When we end an episode and I'm exhausted, that means it was fun.
Yeah. It's we just don't have the bandwidth. And you know, it's just the varsity shows are all on right now. I'm sorry, Shep.
Well, we will be back tomorrow with a little Real Housewives of New Jersey. Yay. And until then, go buy tickets at watchwhatcrappens.com, and we sure love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to Bose Recommends. This is the place to discover your new favorite podcast. Every week, we listen to hundreds of shows to bring you our favorites. And this is one we think you're going to love.
They Walk Among Us is an award-winning true crime podcast. From the sinister and surreal to the brutal and bizarre, join us every other week to hear more on the UK's most notorious and obscure crimes. Featuring well-known cases like the life and crimes of the UK's most violent inmate, Charles Bronson, to the sad tale of the Gibbons twins whose string of petty crimes would lead them to be trapped in Broadmoor for 11 years before their eventual release ended in tragedy. We also cover lesser-known cases like the woman who murdered her husband with an ornamental frog and kept him mummified in her shed for 18 years, or the teenager that used his elaborate online fantasy life to plot his own murder. Listen and subscribe to They Walk Among Us through Acast, Apple Podcasts, or your favourite podcast provider. We would like to thank Bose for inviting They Walk Among Us to be part of Bose Recommends.
That was this week's Bose Recommends, the place to discover your new favorite show. If you want to find out how you can enjoy podcasts in even better sound quality, visit bose.co.uk. Bose, get closer.